We have a special guest in studio, Dr. Coker from Women's Health and Wellness Center at Premier, which is right in Eastdale Village. Good morning, doctor. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Annie. Good morning.
So cool to have you in person.
Exactly. Yeah. Last time was obviously virtual, so congratulations on the new little one.
Thank you.
Appreciate you having me.
And I'm so happy you're here. And you know what? I got to give you, Ryan, a lot of credit. He does know a lot about women's health. Since I met him, listen, I know you're laughing at me, but it's true. Am I allowed to say you?
Yeah. I dated an OB.
Yes, he dated an OB back in the day. So I was surprised.
It was like 5 years ago.
Standing on the shoulders of giants.
Back in the day. That's right. Yes. Yeah, no. So I learned a lot. And it's interesting to me because I feel like a lot of people might shy away from talking about this openly and honestly. And maybe I guess there could be technically a stigma, but like, in my relationship, it was, you know, part of everyday chat and life,
yeah.
And I'm sure for you, and obviously, Annie, you're a woman, and so I think it's good that we're here, that you're here talking about it, and let's talk about the whole Eastdale complex is just...
I mean,
I went for the first time in a long time, and it's beautiful.
And it keep growing, yep, so the Women's Health Center, we have obviously lots of shops and restaurants there, but I think you're right, Ryan, I think that this is a sensitive topic, and ultimately... You know, I'd like to reach out and make sure that patients are aware, you know, there is a place you can come and talk about it, sort of express your concerns, get an idea of, you know, what this could be and today I was hoping we could at least focus on certainly a very common topic, which is leakage or incontinence, urinary incontinence, because there are multiple types of incontinence. And I think, you know, when you say, oh, I'm leaking, in my world, we have to kind of tease out exactly why. So the two main categories that are out there are your stress incontinence, when you quote unquote stress the system by coughing or laughing or sneezing. And then there's actually a different type of incontinence, which is more bladder related, where the bladder squeezes inappropriately, causing potentially an urge, like you really need to get to the bathroom and you just can't get there in time. Or even when you're just minding your own business, you might get up from a sitting position and all of a sudden you just notice that you're wet and you have no idea why. And that's more of an urge or urgency incontinence. And they're treated very differently. So I definitely wanted to highlight that, at least in today's segment.
Well, you know what it is? It's like you had said off the air, it is quality of life because it's something a lot of women deal with that we don't talk about, you know? And I remember after I had my son Michael and it had happened and my husband was like, but I don't understand. And I was trying to explain to him what you're talking about. He's like, but I don't understand. And I thought it was normal after having a kid. And then I found out it wasn't normal. So there is help and there's support out there if you are going through that. So walk us through the steps of if a woman's, you know, struggling through that, what they would do if they come to see you at Premier Medical.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, it's common, super common. Up to 1 in 3 women during their life may have some component of incontinence, depending on how you define that. And we really have to tease that out of the get-go. Oftentimes, there is a component of both in which we call it mixed incontinence. And so you have to decide, well, which one bothers you the most? If you had to pick, is it a stress predominant component where it's the coughing, laughing? You can't go out. You can't, you know, go out for happy hour with the friends and laugh, or else you'll be wetting your pants. Or is it that urge where you get up multiple times at night? You have to know where every restroom is when you're driving to visit your grandchildren or family. And so that's where we kind of focus. I like to say, you know, why do they rob banks? And that's where the money's at. So we have to focus on what symptom bothers you the most.
I love you, doctor. That was the greatest. analogy.
Listen, I got two little ones. You got to have the dad jokes ready.
Okay? I love it.
And so ultimately, that's where you would focus your efforts first. Naturally, you treat both. But they're treated differently. So, for example, the stress, right? So stress incontinence, everybody knows Kegel's exercises, Arnold Kegel, OB-GYN in the 1940s, you know, those pelvic floor strengthening exercises, sustained contractions, those will help with the cough, laugh, sneeze leakage. They ain't going to help with the urge and the urgency incontinence. So if you don't know what you're treating, you might be doing the wrong thing,
which
could be working against you. So again, if you're not sure, if, you know, maybe there's a lot of mixed messages online, there's a lot of information online, you can come see a subspecialist like myself, sort of a urogynecologist, female pelvic medicine, reconstructive surgeon. A lot of words, but ultimately we can help kind of divvy that and decide where to best
treat. Do you have a really long desk to fit that title? I feel like the plaque has got to go on forever.
It actually goes 90 degrees across the corner of the wall.
I made
that custom plaque.
Well, I love that.
I think the cool thing is that you're so open with it too, because I think as a woman, after I just had my son Christian, I had a couple issues that I went to a doctor for, and nothing related to what you do, but when I went in, the first thing the doctor said was, yeah, probably just hormones, or maybe it's your prenatal vitamin. And I was like, no. And I started to notice a lot of my follow-ups were, it's hormonal. And I internally was like, no, there's something there.
Yeah.
So I like that you're looking at the bigger picture. Like you said, you could be treating something wrong. You're looking at which side of it is.
Of course. And yeah, and it gets even more nuanced than that. There's other types of incontinence. Those are the big two categories. You know, certainly patients who've had postoperative complications like a fistula, they may have leakage all the time. Those, that's a little bit more nuanced for today's discussion. But again, more reason to just suggest, if you're not sure, you've talked with your doctor, you feel like there's just mixed messaging, come see somebody who's literally all I do is deal with women's health.
Do we have to get a referral to see you, or is that like how to?
I will physically give you my card if that's all it takes. So,
wow.
But yeah, you can come and actually call Eastdale to get an inpatient appointment or go through your primary. Whatever it takes.
Now, doctor, you talked about obviously exercise, right? You could do the Kegels, things like that for certain steps. But what if what's the procedures like? Tell us, break that down for us, you know, as simply as you can. I know
Absolutely.
It's not that simple, but for me, physical therapy, right?
Yep.
Like I sometimes did the exercises, I sometimes didn't. Is there a way for someone to get a faster result?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's a great point. And I think it can be simplified. Look, I'm a plumber, okay? It comes like a human. I got to fix a leaky pipe or an inappropriately squeezing bladder above it. We got to keep it, you know.
You're so real, and I love that too.
Yeah, got to keep it real with Annie in the morning. So, but ultimately, so stress incontinence, if those physical therapy acts, you go from least to most invasive, right? You start simple. Why do something a little bit more aggressive if it's not necessary or appropriate? If that doesn't do it or it's just not working, you know, stress incontinence, you know, S with stress, that is treated more of a surgical or procedural, right? And so you could do sort of a minimally invasive bulking agent to help augment or strengthen the outlet. If you think like a leaky bucket at the bottom, you have to kind of maybe put a little bulking gel in the urethra. We do that even in the office. Or there is the traditional sling that many may have heard of, made of a synthetic material. It's very safe. It's never been implicated in any safety concerns. And that's placed in the middle of the urethra in outpatient surgery. It takes me anywhere from 25 to 30 minutes to do.
Oh, wow.
You go home the same day.
There you go.
And you get fairly instantaneous results, sort of pretty quick thereafter surgery for the right fit patient with sort of, you know, anatomical findings, hypermobile urethra as weak. So that's something, again, we would figure out together. For urge and urgency incontinence, that's more behavioral changes. We can utilize medications. We have an algorithm that kind of goes from first line, second line, third line therapies to sort of address like why is the bladder so irritated or what we call, quote, overactive. So squeezing when it shouldn't, not giving you enough time. Could it be the, you know, Trente coffees? Could it be, you know, drinking eight ounce glasses of water? A lot of women tell me, well, I was told I need to drink, you know, 64, 72 ounces of water. And I said, well, That actually comes from Weight Watchers. Physiologically, biologically, your body really doesn't need that much water. And so you're just making a ton of dilute urine and the bladder is kind of quivering and constantly just having to process and deal with this. And it gets irritated. So backing off a little bit, I tell for most people, you know, unless there's some medical need or something, you know, 48 ounces, kind of the upper limit, ideally water through the day. Naturally, if you're working outside and it's hot like this weekend, you might need a little more, but you don't have to push that water because it might make an overactive bladder even worse.
Interesting. How bad is it if you work a job where you, I hate to say it, but you can't get to the restroom for several hours?
How
bad is that for us?
Yeah, long term, that can be a problem. They call it the school teacher's bladder. A lot of teachers have no time with the children, right, to get to a restroom. And so over time, you know, that bladder tends to kind of get a little bit less contractile. And actually, you know, once they retire, and I had a teacher actually just yesterday tell me, oh, I can finally go to the bathroom whenever I want now. It's 30 years. She's retired. And so she ultimately, you know, might have issues where it doesn't squeeze well enough anymore to get it all out.
I feel like
and
if you take a lot of car trips, that's probably, I'm guilty of that.
Yeah, make sure, empty your bladder before you leave. That's
at
least one take.
I used
message.
To be able to drive, this, not TMI, but I used to be able to drive like for a long time and not, you know, my rule for my crew is we got to go at least three and a half hours. Like that's like my rule, right? Yeah. Like if you really got to go, but I always like to say we could make it 3.5 hours without stopping is the goal. ever since I joined radio and started drinking a lot more first thing in the morning, I can't make it 3.5 hours.
I'll treat sort of all genders, also men, non-binary, female can all come down. So if you need my card too.
I like that. Bar, I get a referral.
Whatever you need.
This is what I love about you. So fun, so casual, really personable. And like, you don't get that like nervous feeling with you around a doctor. Like, oh, he's going to judge me. It's
Which
definitely
is true
not
because
there.
Sometimes I go to the doctor, I do get nervous and I forget everything I was supposed to ask. Yep. And then I walk out, I'm like, I didn't even go what I went there for.
So I think it's really important. Every phone has a notes app. Whatever you're feeling, if you're thinking about this and you're like, okay, write down the most detailed notes you can about the situation that happened, because every time you go into the doctor, it's like, yeah, yeah. And they're like, well, can you describe it a little better? Because it'll only help you fix it. And I'm like, you know, I don't actually know. I don't remember. So
I don't know why I'm sitting here right now.
Yeah, yeah. So write it down, take notes. Yes. And, you know, obviously if it can be fixed, get it fixed.
Absolutely.
Shouldn't live with that.
If you felt a connection to this conversation and you'd like some support, you can reach out to Dr. Coker, Women's Health and Wellness Center at Premier, which is right in East Hill Village off of Route 44. And will you take patients from pretty much anywhere?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and actually, I do have office hours in our Fishkill Clinic, 400 Westage. So if there's, you know, for convenience purposes, I'm there several times a month. Also can, you know, reach out to that community as well.
I love this. Let's talk more about women's health in the future. We'd love to have you back again and touch on another topic.
Appreciate that. Thanks so much for having me. This was a real treat.
Oh, and happy Father's Day.
Yes, happy Father's
Day.
Thank
you very much. Appreciate that.
I love that. All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Coker.